Good morning. We're calling to order this October 24th, 2012 variance hearing on Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Asengard-Taylor and the controls, who's the executive secretary for the hearing today. I'd like to begin with some general information. First, on the order of presentation, the applicant and or owners of the property will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the 5 findings required to justify variance have been met. At this time, the applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Proponents or opponents, just members of the public, will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. The applicant and or project sponsor will be allowed a 3-minute rebuttal if there was any public comment in opposition to the project. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. At the end of the hearing, I may close the item, I may continue it to a future date, may take an action today or take the matter under advisement. There are no items on the consent calendar today. There is one item that I believe is going to be continued to a future date. I'll come back to that in just a second. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing, and these are for items that are not on the calendar today. I'd like to go into criteria for justifying a variance, and project sponsors, when you step forward, please focus on how these 5 findings and all 5 findings have to be met in order to justify granting the variance. These are listed in planning code section 305C, finding number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship, not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Due to current backlogs, the decision letter may take up to 2 months to issue following the hearing. If you wish to receive a copy of the decision letter, please sign in on the sign-in sheets because of the far wall. That's extremely important because it's the variance decision letter itself which has the appeal rights, and there's a 10-day appeal period to the Board of Appeals. Other items, private conversations, and also cell phones can be disruptive to during the hearing, so please turn the cell phones off. Also, please have any private conversations outside. While we do encourage parties to talk, they can be disruptive for other cases, so please have any conversations out in the hall. The next variance is scheduled for December 5th, 2012. There's no November hearing. We go straight to an early December hearing, and then the next hearing after that will be on January 23rd, 2013. There are audio recordings of variance hearings going back for almost 2 years now are available on our website as links on the agenda for that particular variance case. And then we can move on to the regular calendar. And out of the project sponsors here for the first item, 4426 20th Street, but I was informed by staff that this item would be continued to January 23rd, 2012. And the purpose for that is because they would be submitting revised plans that would actually be code compliant, and we would no longer have a need for a variance. So in this, we can read the item and we'll take action on
it. Item number 1, case number 2012.1138V, 4426 20th Street, rear yard variance sought. This particular case is being moved to January 23rd, 2013.
Is the project sponsor here? Any members of the public to speak on 4426 20th Street? Seeing that, we move this item to the January 23rd, 2013 hearing calendar. Public hearing remains open, but as I said, we anticipate that this would be withdrawn because the project being open.
Case number 2012.0379V, 672 Peralta Avenue, off-street parking variance sought. Is the project sponsor here? Could you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
So we're looking for parking variance. It's a Vernon Heights zone area, so we're adding more than 400 square feet of space, so we where parking spaces. Our house is actually built into the hill, but into the hill as it is, it's got one parking space in the project. It basically would be a financial hardship for us to add an additional parking space for the project, because we've put into a hill. The garage is already surrounded by 8-foot retaining walls. It's basically not feasible for us to do it. Also, if we were to move the garage door, relocate the garage better, it would actually negate the benefit to the neighborhood, because it's going to actually cut into the parking space that's right outside the front of our house, making it too small for any car to park there. So basically, that's all I have to say. That's the posting declaration.
Thank you. Can you briefly describe the scope of the addition that you're doing?
Okay, so basically right now our house is 2.5 levels, and what we propose to do is raise the house, cut it 2 and raise it 4.5 feet or 5 feet, giving us this half level that's in between, making it the full depth of the house. It's going to raise it above the grade of the dirt that's there. And then taking off the roof of the house and putting a slope roof on the house. So the overall height increases about 5'6" per planning regulations, by the way they measure them at an
angle.
So basically it's going to be a single family. It's a single family home right now. It's 2 bedrooms. We're making it into a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. Just had a baby girl a couple of weeks back, so just want some additional space.
She doesn't drive, I think.
Not yet. Sorry, due course. And Dave, the architect, Dave Stormer, would like to say something as well.
Okay, sure.
Hi. Both of us are here to answer any other questions, but I just wanted to bring up one other point, and that is that in the Bernal Heights, this happens to be an RH2 zoning district. Had it not been RH2, then the second parking spot would not be required. So the reality is he has a single-family house, has no intentions of ever increasing the number of units, and he's only adding 395 square feet, so he is over that 200 square foot threshold. But if it was in an RH1, it would be far below any requirements for a second parking spot for this kind of remodel. So,
thank you for making that point. Is there any public comment on this item? We're on item number 2672 Peralta Avenue. Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. It's my understanding that the Section 311 notice is out now and will expire on November 15th, correct? Generally, I'm inclined to grant the requested variance, finding that we have no hardship in the upsloping lot. I think it's also an excellent point, too, where while adding one bedroom, that this is maintaining a single-family dwelling and what would allow otherwise 2 dwelling units. So I'm inclined to grant, but I would hold the decision letter until after the Section 311 notification is complete.
Okay.
Oh, I just called for public comment and see your hand. But if you would like to speak to the next.
Okay.
No, should they?
I had attended the.
Can you please
get closer to the. I had attended the East Slope Design Review Board meeting when they had it in October of last year. And I read this statement, but I'm only going to read the one paragraph, which is about the history, my history. Okay. My name is Elaine Mayers, and I own both my home at 71 Bradford Street, which is the street behind Peralta, which is a one-story high of living space, and my garden in the rear, which is 666 Peralta Street. My garden is on the north side next to 672 Peralta Street. My parents moved to 71 Bradford Street in 1924, and in the late 1930s or early 1940s, they purchased the lot on Peralta, which is my garden. At the time they purchased it, the neighbors on both sides of my property also bought the lots behind their homes and made them their gardens. One of the main reasons for buying the properties was to maintain the view from the back of our homes. I might also add that I have been living in my home my entire life. I have seen many changes in the area around me, both on Bradford and on Peralta, but this proposed addition will affect me the most. it will take a great portion of my view on that side when they go up the 6 feet, with, plus the terrace on top and that. So I feel that if this planned increase in the height of the structure is approved, then most of the view that from that side of my home will be gone. Also, I believe that the value of my property would be diminished if I ever wanted to sell it.
Okay, thank you. So, project sponsor, it would do allow for that rebuttal when someone does speak on the project. If you'd like to address those points, you have the ability to speak. So.
Again, David Sternberg. I believe that this is just not an issue relevant to the parking at all. I appreciate her getting up and speaking, but the proper venue is upcoming with the planning department review and approval. But I also would like to go on record saying that yes, a portion of her view will be blocked, but in my opinion, for what it's worth, it will be a minimal blockage. When balanced with the necessary needs for my client's addition. But again, I'm going to emphasize the fact that this issue of view blockage is very irrelevant to the parking variance. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. So with that, then the public hearing is finally closed. So maintain my position that granting the variance is justifiable given the conditions of the subject property. Again, would hold off on when my time is up. But I would hold off on the decision letter being issued until after the end of the Section 311 notification period. Would urge the parties to discuss, but I would note that the blockage is not something that is protected under the planning code. That said, there still be discussions between the parties and maybe showing the extent of the project so that there's clarity on what impacts there might be. And with that, then we can move on to the next item.
Item number three, case number 2012.0085V, 7 Progress Street. Rear yard and open space variances sought. Is the project sponsor here? Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi. My name is Hipolito Espinosa. I'm the designer of the project. And basically, the owner of the property wants to get it approved for the infill that they made in the rear yard underneath of the deck, existing deck, same as some of our neighbors they did. And also for some advisement, the classification of the areas RH2, and we're going to apply for the second unit underneath. And basically, the structure is appropriate for that. And she's trying to approach the area underneath of the deck because the family is growing up and they need a little bit more space to get more facility for the family.
Thank you.
That's basically it.
Okay, so do you have any other arguments about the hardships for the property? It appears that it's a lot size is 23.4 inches by 57.5 feet, that's correct?
Yes, correct.
So it's a substandard lot. And was this approved? This was approved under redevelopment controls, is that correct?
No.
The redevelopment agency didn't approve this project initially. Because this was built in 1992, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I believe it was built at the time when the redevelopment agency made that.
Yeah, basically, the structure of the homes is the same.
Okay, and then there have been a history of complaints, and how does this variance address those complaints?
Yeah.
It does?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you have anything further to add?
No, this is very basic and small projects. So that's
okay. All right, thank you. Is there anyone, a member of the public, to speak on this item, item number 37 Progress Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. I think that given the lot size and also of the development history, even though it was built in 92, was built under redevelopment controls and doesn't comply to current planning controls. I think those are offer some grounds for justification. At this point, we just take the matter under advisement and we'll close the public hearing, take the matter under advisement, and make a final decision in the coming weeks. Thank you. Move on to the next item.
Item number four, case number 2012-0819V, 42 Van View Street, rear yard and mass reduction variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Lou Blage, for Robert Blage, owner. This is a rear yard variance request, and it's a very minor variance. We're basically asking to put a bay window into the rear yard of a lot on Bonview Street. It's a 9 by 3, 27 square foot bay window, basically intrusion into the rear yard. The vernal heights east slope design does not allow bay windows as it permitted. Intrusion, otherwise, everywhere in the city, you could do this bay window. I would like to put up a block map that shows the block, the subject block on Bonview Street, and basically all the red is are intrusions into the required rear yard. On this subject block, and you can see the subject property, which is yellow, the little black area, that's the bay that's being requested. The basic hardship here is that this is a downsloping steep lot. The house is what's called an upside-down house. The living area is on the second floor. So to get to any usable open space, you have to go down 2+ flights of stairs to use a yard. And so the variance that's being requested is an infill of an existing space that's within the buildable area, and then the bay, which actually then makes the a potential deck a little larger. So the goal here is to expand a master bedroom and to then create a deck on top of it, and that deck would then function from the living kitchen area, so you have direct open space access to the living spaces. Also, obviously, there's a question of equity in terms of under the variance standards. You can see that many other properties on the block intrude into rear yard open space, so there's a pattern of intrusion. The second the variance that's being requested is the mass reduction variance. And again, Vernal Heights has a specific, very unique kind of criteria. This house was built in 1972 prior to the adoption of the Vernal Heights zoning. So had the zoning been in place, this house could have been designed in a different way so that it would actually meet the area reductions or come close to them. This project still meets the area reduction of 425 square feet, while 650 square feet would be required. And again, this is a kind of a modest exception, and given that we're dealing with an existing house in existing conditions, I think that justifies that variance. This kind of concludes my presentation, unless you have any questions.
Yeah, thank you. What year was the building built again?
In 72, 1972.
Thank you. I think that's an important point to make, that it was prior to the vernal controls.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And Robert has two children, and they need open space close to where the kitchen is.
Great, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is there any other public comment on this item? And now let's see item number 442 Bellevue Street. Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. It's my understanding that the Section 311 notice is currently out and will expire on November 17th.
That's correct.
So I'm definitely inclined to grant the requested variance. It's a minor change from the current co-compliant condition, and well, in terms of it's not co-compliant already in terms of the mass reduction. But I find that it's persuasive given that it was constructed prior to the current controls and also the lot configuration, given it's very steeply downsloping lot, which justify granting of the variance. So I will hold the decision letter until the Section 311 is complete, but generally inclined to grant the variance.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We can move on to the next item.
Item number five, case number 2012-1045V, 3325 Folsom Street, rear yard and parking variances sought. Sponsor of this project here?
Yes.
Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir. Oh, thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Jeff Burris. I'm Studio 12 Architecture. I'm here as the project sponsor for 3325 Folsom Street. This is a rear yard setback issue. The house was constructed in the 60s, and it was built entirely in the rear yard. What we are seeking to do is there is an existing non-compliant sunroom, and there's a small amount of space on the second level that we'd like to expand into, and some on the third level that we'd like to grab a deck. The total square footage of these three or four areas in the house is 275 feet. So we were here for the hearing because we're expanding over 200 feet. But as I said, the house is existing in the rear yard, so it does make literal enforcement difficult. And as a variance, as a normal enjoyment for the site, we're not trying to build a house larger than the other neighbors. And I don't believe that it would, it is in harmony with the code in the sense that we are treating the code with respect, with the opposition being the fact that it's existing in the rear yard being the only detriment.
Thank you. And now, do you believe that it's pretty persuasive here and that if the building is completely within the required rear yard? However, it's my understanding came to the department's attention recently that there's a fence at the front of the property which does not have a permit. It would require a variance in order to legalize because it's more than 6 feet tall, solid within the front setback. So, have you discussed this with your client and they determine how they would like to proceed with legalization of the fence?
We would. We just heard about this a few days ago. we were unaware of that issue, so it was just dropped in our lap. We have discussed it, and we would like to bring it into compliance. And I don't know if we could do that under this permit or if we have to submit it under a separate permit, but we have just addressed it. It's a rather steep area, so we have to do it carefully, and we're either going to move it back or remove it.
Okay, that's great, because I mean, depending on what you do want to do to legalize it, it may not even require a building permit because of that fence less than 6 feet tall. And the concern here is that if it's within the front setback, which this is right at the front property line, and the adjacent buildings are set back, then if you're doing the 6 foot solid fence, that doesn't comply with the code. You can do 3 foot solid or 6 foot 75% open, but if you wanted to do the height in solid, you'd have to move it back to the buildable area, so to the average of the adjacent properties.
Right. Our concern is balancing safety and privacy because it's a really steep slope. We'd have to build either a retaining wall to hold the fence or remove it completely. So we're still discussing that, but compliance is our objective.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? We're on item number 5, 3325 Folsom Street. Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. As I said, I think this very clear case of an exceptional and extraordinary circumstance of the building being completely built in the required rear yard. And the additions are very modest, really infilling what is already on the building, not expanding the footprint. But it would have a condition that the front fence be brought into conformity with the planning code requirements. And we can move on to the next item.
Item number 6, case number 2012-0031V, 1000 Baker Street. Rear yard variance sought. Sponsor? Good morning. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Michael Garvey. I'm a designer for YA Studio and a project manager for the proposal at 1000 Baker Street. As you know, we're proposing the construction of a new two-story single-family unit at the rear of the subject property and are requesting a rear yard variance. The proposed project is a two-bedroom, two-bathroom, family-sized residential unit with minimal curb cut and a single garage door. It is modest in size and commensurate with the neighborhood's RM1 zoning. We feel the project is on scale with structures along St. Joseph's Avenue. At just under 23 feet high, the roof peak of the project will not negatively impact views of the San Francisco skyline from the Baker Street units that are uphill and is appropriate for the scale of St. Joseph's Avenue. The rear yard space will feature new softscapes and will use pervious pavers in lieu of concrete wherever allowable. The project will provide housing stock that is affordable and is ideally located near commercial areas and is within two blocks of two transit corridors along Geary Boulevard and to visit Arrow Street. Although we've received differing opinions from some neighbors, we've also received several letters of support from neighbors that appreciate both the scale of this project and the positive impact it will have on the safety of St. Joseph's Avenue. In closing, we see the particular situation of the subject property's through lot with streets fronts, the street fronts along Baker Street and St. Joseph's Avenue as an opportunity to better utilize the steep hill site and to begin to activate St. Joseph's Avenue with a more pedestrian-friendly streetscape. Thank you for your time, and we hope to see the rear yard variance.
Thank you. So, can you discuss a bit more the exceptional and extraordinary circumstances related to the lot?
You mean the through lot?
Yeah, so is it just that it's a through lot and it's steeply sloping?
I think those two are pretty much...
Yes. Okay. And are you aware of case number 2003.1257? It's a variance that was filed in 2003 for the subject property to allow I'll just read the description. The proposal is to construct an approximately 37-foot wide by 20-foot deep by 20-foot tall one-story over garage structure containing one dwelling unit along the rear property line. Since the lot is a through lot, the structure and rear yard would have vehicle access from St. Joseph's Avenue. A 25-foot deep rear yard is proposed between the project and the existing single-family dwelling along Baker Street. So you're aware of this case, and can you describe how this is your proposal is different from this one, which was denied by the zoning administrator in a decision letter dated January 14th, 2005?
First, I think that there are some similarities, but the main thing is that the architect actually died during the process. You want to speak to that?
Hi, my name is Tiffany Jin. We bought the property on May 8th, 2000. I hired a very nice architect friend. Part way, when he was doing all his thing, he got cancer of the neck. And I didn't think that we should just proceed. You know, it's just like bad energy. And he was in the hospital a lot, so I just let it go. Plus, when he gave me the estimate of funds at that time, I just bought the property, and I just... didn't have enough funds to proceed.
So you bought the property in 2000?
Yes, May 8th, and I have the paperwork, the grant deed and everything, and I refinanced this year in, I think, March, to get some monies to do this project.
So the application was filed in 2003. There was a public hearing on November 17, 2004, so it was 8 years ago. And the zoning administrator denied it, and with well-reasoned findings, addressing each of the five findings, mm-hmm. how they were met, in a decision letter dated January 14, 2005. So it seems that the public process has been completed on it, which seems to contradict what you're saying about, if I'm understanding you correctly, you had abandoned the project.
I abandoned the project. I didn't even know there was a hearing. I knew he posted signs. But if I can give you the information, the architect who did have cancer of the neck, and I didn't want to pursue it anymore.
Who was your architect at the time?
Malcolm Wallace. Nice guy.
Okay. All right.
Can I also add that I think maybe the complexion of the St. Joseph's Avenue has changed over the years? And, in the site visits that we've had, it seems a fairly abandoned street front.
How has it changed?
Well, I think the project that we're proposing is going to help the streetscape. And I don't know what the streetscape was like originally. And so I think as the streetscape is, I think it would benefit.
What are the project problems with the streetscape currently? I've seen it. It's actually quite a nice transition from the Geary corridor where you have the heavy institutional uses and you drive down the street, and that's quite a dramatic change from what you're seeing, which is very institutional on Geary. So, it's interesting. And it is, it's an interesting question because it is an RM zone district, which does account for heavier, more intense residential uses. But these are very unique through lots. They are steeply downsloping. And one of the things, another concern, there's the decision that's already been made on, I think, a very similar project. The yards themselves are difficult to use. I know what it's like to have a steeply sloped rear yard. You kind of fight for level space to have it be usable. And this property will cast significant shade on the property to the north. This doesn't seem that it's making your neighbor's property less usable. And is there any way you can, I know it's difficult here because the height limit is so low. You have a 25-foot height limit, but you have an RM zone district, so those kind of conflict with each other.
Right.
But I just don't know that a structure in a required rear yard is the best solution here for adding a dwelling unit. I mean, and, you know, we're balancing different goals here of the city and adding dwelling units in areas close to transit, which this is well served by transit, but also neighborhoods are in retail uses along Visit Arrow, along Erie. But I just don't know that having that in the rear yard is the best solution. Have you looked at alternatives of including it in the buildable area?
We are looking at that as well. Yes.
Okay. All right, well, thank you. As I was droning on, did you have any other things you'd like to add? Thank you. So now we can move on to public comment for item number 6. This is 1000 Baker Street. Any members of the public, please step forward and we give them 3 minutes to speak on this item. Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Wait,
3 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Thanks for the opportunity to talk. My name is David Thier, and I own and live at 1020 Baker Street, two houses from the property under consideration. I've been there since 1979. The house was built in 1964, and I'm the second owner. I strongly oppose granting a variance to allow the construction of a separate structure at the rear of 1000 Baker Street with a garage entrance on St. Joseph's Avenue. On January 14, 2005, as you have just discussed, under the City Planning Code, a variance was denied to build the same structure in the same location. The facts of the case did not support granting a variance on the 5 findings under consideration. Nothing which would change the facts of the case has changed in the law or the neighborhood since that date. In the interest of consistent application of the City Planning Code, this application for a variance should be denied out of hand. The only thing that has changed since the denial in 2005 is the improvement of the neighboring back gardens at considerable expense to the owners. The proposed unit would create a precedent in the Anza Vista neighborhood and encourage speculators to buy property, do the same thing, and to maximize their profits. This would destroy the ambiance of the neighborhood by overdeveloping the properties and increasing population density and traffic. It would also do away with considerable greenscape, which we need not only for its positive visual impact, but to help replenish the oxygen in the polluted air that we breathe. For these reasons, and the others discussed here and in the emails you have received, I recommend denial of this variance application. The previous speaker mentioned increasing safety on St. Joseph's Way or St. Joseph's Avenue. It's referred to differently in different places. And I would say that this project would do just the opposite. By opening up a garage with a very narrow sidewalk in a heavily trafficked foot area, people parking and going to Kaiser, where the view coming out of the garage is not exactly safe on a street where cars tend to travel at a higher speed because there aren't garage openings on it. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Next, please.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. I live on 2004 Eddy Street. And first of all, I never got a letter from the Planning Commission that something like this is happening. I got a notification from a neighbor of mine, so I didn't have even a time to kind of get organized. But the little bit that I did, I have here a letter that says, "We neighbors who live by St. Joseph Street are very much opposed to the construction on lot 1117/006 for various reasons. Its beauty is unique because of the gardens facing the street. We saw what happened with another construction on St. Joseph. We lost a valuable parking spot, and we are concerned that the cascading effect will spread for the whole street. The street is historical to San Francisco, for it was the first cemetery of the city, and the greenery preserves some of it. I have here a letter signed by a few neighbors. If I knew about it beforehand, I would have organized more, got even the people who preserve the beauty of the city. It's a, I'm a landscape person. I'm not going to work today because it's so important to me. The beauty of this street is very unique. To me, it's almost like Lombard Street, but it's hidden. Not many people know about it. And that's where we're getting our parking spots too. So please, no construction on that lot, please.
No construction.
And just to note that the public notice is mailed to owners within 300 feet of the subject property. We use the latest assessor's information.
Well, the neighbors across the street from me, which is even lower down the street, is borders with Broderick, got the letter. That's how I got the letter, because he's the one who told me about it. And it's his copy. I never got the letter.
And it may be an error with the post service, but you may also want to check with the assessor's office to make sure that they have a correct mailing address for you as owner of the
building. Well, I'm sure. I mean, I'm the owner of the building. I mean, there is no reason. There is no reason why I didn't get the letter.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. So next, please.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm Al Sodini. I live at 140 Terra Vista. I've been a resident in the area since 1957. I'm the president of the Yanta Vista Neighborhood Association. I've talked with numerous people throughout our area, including people within the middle. The vast majority object to this project. It's already been denied once, and you've noted the good reasons. I won't go into those again. What I would like to stress, again, which you heard the speaker before, I think the garage doors opening on St. Joseph are going to be very, very dangerous. The sidewalk on St. Joseph's is only 2 concrete squares wide, that's 36 inches each. The setback to the garage door will be basically 1 more square, 36 inches plus 5. There are trees all along St. Joseph's, and the openings for the trees infringe on the second concrete square. So there's really less than a concrete square for people to walk down the street. And I'm very concerned that when cars back out of the proposed new garage, the driver will still be in the garage. He won't be able to look right or left. And the rear of the car will be actually on the sidewalk. And I think that's going to be a very dangerous situation. And if this promulgates throughout the rest of St. Joseph's, and that's what the neighborhood is concerned about. They don't want this starting and going around St. Joseph's, up Turk Street, and on Terra Vista. If this goes further up St. Joseph's with these garages, I think you might as well close St. Joseph's to pedestrian traffic. It's just not going to work. There's people that go to Kaiser, particularly women that have small children, and it's on a slope, so they let the kids kind of run ahead of them. They'll never be able to recover if some car is coming out of that driveway and the kid doesn't skid. So it is a safety concern.
Thank you. Next member of the public, please.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Jim Grossman. I live at 975 Baker Street across from this property. And I've seen the prior hearing in 2003. And looked at all the findings, and I couldn't see where there was a change in any of those findings. I thought the planner did an exceptional job. In fact, I have a letter here that reiterates those same findings, and I have 20 signatures from a local neighbor that are against it because they really don't want the increased density in the neighborhood, because as the last speaker said, everyone will want to put a separate building in their backyard. And we also, so I want to provide this with to the, you know, to Mr. Sanchez. I also have a copy of for the a picture of where this actually happened on Terra Vista, where they put a second property on the backside, and this was before they changed the code. And it's just a disaster in the neighborhood. I mean, you drive by it, and you can't believe it. It looks like a tenement. There's no parking, but there's 4 units, and it just it's a disaster, so we don't want any more repetitions of that if we can at all help it. So, thank you.
Thank you. Next member of the public, please.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Elizabeth Lewis, and I live at 1020 Baker Street, two houses down from 1000 Baker Street, and I'm strongly opposed to this project. And I would like to say that the neighbor at 1010 Baker Street, who has a chronic illness that prevented her from attending this, whose property is most directly impacted, is beyond distressed about the effect that this is going to have on her property. There will be a 25 by 25 foot blank wall against her property, blocking the light and destroying the property value. I'd also like to point out that a number of the neighbors, these yards are used despite the slope. People have invested a great deal of money in terracing them. They garden them. Even the yard at 1000 Baker Street is terraced and gardened with trees, and someone waters it. So it's not that these are unusable lots. We use them and we garden in them, and we don't want to change. I'm particularly distressed about the precedent this would set. This is the first domino. If you push this over, then that's the end of the block for and the end of the neighborhood for real estate developers. And I would like to point out that the owner, and all due respect, is a real estate developer. And she is undoubtedly aware of the development potential of the property. I'm living the rest of my life in this house. I care about my neighborhood. The neighbors that matter are the people that reside permanently in these buildings. We have a neighborhood association. I know my neighbors. People know each other. Our kids carpool. It destroys the whole fabric of the neighborhood to do this. There's reason to believe that the owner of this property has other properties. Well, she will be moving soon. In fact, is what she told the neighbor at 1010 Baker Street. And so, in my mind, this is being done for development. Nothing has changed since the variance was denied, and the project is the same. So there's no need to activate St. Joseph Street. St. Joseph Street is beautiful the way it is. A 980 square foot house is really two bedroom house. It's not adding much to the housing stock. It's not adding much to anything. Except it destroys the ambience of the street and sets the precedent for all these properties to be picked up by real estate developers and built out. Thank you.
Thank you. Next member of the public, please.
You always have 3 minutes.
Okay, I'll be short. Good morning, Mrs. Sanchez. I live in 1-2 of Terra Vista for 37 years, and I had a signed objection to this project. If you look at a really small area on that hill, on one side is Turk Street, the opposite side of Farrell, and this is San Jose Fisher. All those lots are going through lots from the uphill downhill. And period, we don't disagree that should be developed or allowed to put a structure like this. And this is besides that, the structure is not attached to the existing building, it's a completely separate structure. If you want to allow something like this, might as well split the lots, go through that process. Because most people are going to come back and do the same thing, also same thing. And regarding that variance, as was already saying, no, 5 or 7 years ago, why are you even accepting some application like this? If you've done somebody, no, it's been no forever. No, by 5 years, you're going to try somebody else. Previous administrator left, now we're going to try this one. We have a different outfit and so on. So once again, I'm saying steps like the previous people, oppose this and deny this application. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think it's a good point that this already has been denied once, and I think there may be some questions about reapplication. The law does allow reapplication after 1 year, so you can't reapply within 1 year of being denied, but after 1 year you can reapply, and we have to accept the application, we have to have the hearing. That is the public process, but I think that's an important question to raise. So sorry, next member of the public, please.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Actually, I'm not a member of the public.
Okay.
I'm Tiffany's husband.
Okay, so you, are you speaking as... Yeah. You want to do the 3-minute rebuttal?
Right. Okay, well, number one.
Is there any other member of the public that wanted to speak? Because we'll be moving on now to the project sponsor's rebuttal. Okay, thank you.
Number one is that St. Joseph Street, they say it's a thoroughfare for pedestrians to walk down and up. If you look at St. Joseph Street, the only part that is clean and walkable is the other side, not the side that our backyard is on. Okay? St. Joseph Street, when you ask these neighbors, do they walk it at nighttime? They don't. It's dangerous. It really is. There are a lot of car break-ins at nighttime. How do we know? We hear alarms go off all the time. Okay. Number two is that the reason for the house to be built there, our original intention was to build a place to put our teenage son. Okay? So that he could be away from the new house. We have no intention of selling. We're San Franciscan. We'd like to live in San Francisco. My wife is not a developer. She's a real estate person. Yes. Okay. And we did not buy that house with intention of developing and selling it. This is my only house residence in San Francisco. I don't intend to leave. Okay. 7 years old, where I'm going to go. Right. The house, the garage doors are not going to be flipping open. You can roll over, roll up. There are streets with garage doors are this, just the same width. So really, I don't think there'd be any difference because the pedestrians don't walk on that side, they're walking in the side.
It's not true.
Okay.
So please, no comments from...
I'm going to interrupt you. Please don't interrupt me.
The opposition comes from people who are not even close to us. All right, the only one that's even remotely close to us is the doctor, Dr. Thier. All right, and he had issues with his neighbor who also didn't put an extension on his property. And if you look at the property in St. Joseph, there are already certain residents. There are driveways coming down. There are houses, multifamily houses, coming down in St. Joseph. So there's already a driveways there.
And with the condition for both the adjacent properties, do either of those have buildings in the rear or driveways?
Yeah, there are buildings that are on the front where the buildings actually extended to the rear. There are several buildings there that don't have...
further down towards the corners of the lot, aren't they?
Corner and lot, they're further up, too. Yeah.
So it's not the adjacent properties. It's not something that there's a clear pattern of.
No. They're there, but they're already there. So the president said already that there are extensions.
Did you attend the hearing in 2004?
We didn't even know about it.
You live in the house, correct?
Yes.
And there was a poster in the front of the house for the hearing, but you didn't know about the hearing.
Well, I didn't attend it, I guess. Or I didn't. At least let my wife take care of this stuff.
Okay.
And that's true, because what happened was that the architect that we had hired, Brandon Fromms, okay, and there was no need to continue with the project.
Okay.
But anyway, the neighbor...
Your time is up, if you want to just wrap up one last thought.
Sure, all right. Evidently, there are neighbors there that do agree with us. One of them is my neighbor right to my right-hand side. And she agrees that there's nothing wrong with building a house down there, that when she moved in with her husband years and years ago, they had already intended to do that also. But, of course, back in those days, it was not allowed.
And that's the property to the south of you, correct?
Yeah.
And so the property to the north, which is in 1010 Baker, they're not in support of the project, are they? Because of the impacts.
Right. And this is a letter from the lady from the...
Okay. We'll take that. Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you for your comments. Appreciate it. So with that, the public hearing is closed. I think this is pretty clear. This is not a supportable variance. I appreciate the application that's been made again. But I don't feel that the findings have been met here, as the decision letter in 2005 stated. there are no exceptional extraordinary circumstances here. As I said previously, this is an RM1 zoning district, which does allow for more than a single family dwelling. So you know, the question is, how do you develop the lot? This is severely restricted in that it's only a 25-foot height limit as well, because we're up on the hill. The height limit is lower. That's a bit of a contradiction in the zoning. Zoning allows you more units, but this is one of the most restrictive height limits in the city. So how do you develop in a code-compliant fashion? I don't think that putting a building in the rear yard, especially in this location where there's no pattern of development, given that the impacts, I think, very severe impacts on the adjacent property to the north, given that it is, well, it is a steeply sloping lot, which in some cases can be grounds for variance, I was actually quite impressed with how well maintained all the yards are here and how visible from St. Joseph. You know, a lot of people that have steeply sloping rear yards don't do anything with them, or they just abandon them, but I was impressed with the level of maintenance and the care and the amount of gardens and usability that's been developed in these lots, and think that that's something that should be encouraged rather than building a building in the rear yard. The variance decision letter from 2005 actually said if an additional unit was proposed in the buildable area of the lot, you know, they would consider a parking variance. And so it's currently, is it a single family or two unit building? It's a two unit building, and there are how many parking spaces?
Two.
So actually, one of the things under the planning code was changed since the previous decision. You can add a third dwelling unit without need of providing an additional parking space. So if you can find a way to add an additional dwelling unit or living space within the buildable area that doesn't require a variance, you wouldn't need a parking variance. So what I would suggest you work with your architect and look at code compliance solutions that are within the buildable area. For me, it's not a question of the density, but it's a question of building something in the rear yard, which I don't think is appropriate in this case. So I would, you know, work with your neighbors, and you know, any addition to add a unit would require neighborhood notice. But you know, that, I think that's something that hopefully the neighbors would be supportive of if there was no change in the expansion of the building. So with that, the public hearing is closed. I'm inclined to deny the requested variance, and we can move on to the next case.
Item number 7, case number 2012.0T211V, 2764 Greenwich Street, rear yard variance sought. Sponsor of this project here, please. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi, I'm Brian Milford. I'm the architect for the project. The homeowners, Rich and Mary, apologize they couldn't be here. They've work has relocated them overseas, and they're expecting a child and forbidden from traveling. Otherwise, they'd like to be here themselves. The application for the zoning variance is a result of negotiations between the project sponsor and their neighbors who filed a DR request against an approved alternate solution. The approved a rear yard pop-out, a one-story pop-out with 5-foot setbacks and a 12-foot extension complies with the letter of the planning code. However, DR has been filed against that approved solution, and this resultant pop-out design solution is a result of a lot of back and forth, a lot of negotiations with both the neighbors, the supervisor's office, the Kauhala Neighborhood Association, to come up with a solution that would appease both the neighbors, the neighborhood associations, as well as meet the needs of the project sponsor. The requested variance is actually quite minor in terms of scope. The pop-up into the rear yard is actually reduced from 12 feet to 8 feet. We're requesting exception to the limit of a 10-foot maximum height at the rear wall, or an exception to a 5-foot setback for a pop-up higher than that. I think either exception applies. The development as proposed in the variance application matches nearly identical to both the properties immediately to the east. The one immediately to the east just recently wrapping up construction has an identical footprint with a similar height layout above 10 feet, and then one property adjacent to them has a similar extension with also 3-foot setbacks. Extraordinary circumstances here is the neighborhood groups and the immediate neighbors prefer a solution that is not compliant with the specific language of the code and results in a pop-up that's actually smaller in square footage than the one approved and requires a minor exception to code. I'm able to take any questions.
Thank you. And I do have the plans that there were some like emails going back and forth about this, but the DR requests are going to be plans that were signed by the DR requester okay. in front of me.
And I believe the DR requester is here to speak as well.
Okay, great. And if you can, you know, you've got me all five findings for the variance here, and so some of the exceptional extraordinary circumstances, some of the things that I have concerns about is that 25 by 120 foot lot, so it's significantly larger than the typical 25 by 100 foot lot of the city. It's a single family dwelling in an RH2 district, which would otherwise allow two dwelling units, so we're not even built up to the density. There is an alternate code compliant proposal, which another DR requester has concerns about the overall extension. And as you noted, it's a rear yard variance because it doesn't comply with the permitted obstruction of 136. There are two that you could look at. One is either you're too tall, and that is arguably because of the downsloping nature of the lot. I think someone's subtle, but it does have a bit of a downslope to it. Or you set it in 5 feet from the side property lines. In this case, you're setting it 3 feet in from each of the side property lines. This is the ground level, and it is a listed on the plans as a workshop. Can you describe why the 5 foot setbacks won't work?
As previously mentioned, that there is an application for 5 foot setbacks with a larger extension. The property owner's ambitions or intentions for the ground floor pop out, they do have an expanding family. They have older children, they're expecting a new baby as well. So the ground floor area is kind of open, the room with intention essentially is a space for them when they're living there. But essentially, with the downsloping nature of the lot and the way the house is set up, the main living space of the home is at the first floor, and with the downslope, the yard is actually a full story below the main living spaces. The extension pop-out allows for additional outdoor living space, so connection of indoor and outdoor living space, their kitchen, their living room, kind of extending to the exterior. That's a very important item to them and their lifestyle. The actual addition itself, the second, third, and fourth story additions actually does not seek the full depth permittable by code because they do wish to have as much outdoor space connected to their main living level as possible. The 5 foot setbacks with the 12 foot extension got them the square footage that they could be comfortable with. In negotiating with the DR requesters, their preference was, we don't mind the depth, we don't mind the width. So reducing the depth but increasing the width allows our project applicant similar square footage. Actually ends up being less square footage than approved, but something that they can live with in a proportion that they can kind of use. So that's the nature of the variance question and the negotiated kind of solution.
So just a question of square footage.
Square footage and a usable proportion of square footage.
So what is the, I guess what I've had trouble with is making that workroom 4 feet narrower in total. How does that ruin the program for that?
It's more so a result of the roof deck that's above that. Is more of the concern from the project sponsor. The room below is certainly a program that they need when their full family is on the property, but it's not the driving factor here.
So it's more a question of the patio that is above than the size of the workroom below?
Correct.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. And while we're on the matter of that patio, I believe that there's, and one of the neighbors does have concerns about the railing on that.
That is true. That it came to my attention as of yesterday. There's been several years now back and forth with many neighbors. This is the first we've heard of that specific request. It's the type of a request that the project sponsors have shown a great willingness to entertain. There certainly was not time in advance of this meeting to do anything about that request. I believe the request came in a form that said they generally support the nature of the variance, but just concerns about the railing, and that's certainly something we continue to get the dialogue with them on. I'm not sure what the form for that is, but.
And then it's my understanding of the intent of the project sponsor is if the variance is granted, the DR would be withdrawn and they would not go to the DR hearing. Is that?
That is my understanding. I believe the DR requester is here to speak specifically to that.
And then I think the one issue is that given that this is, while the overall depth is less than what was noticed on the section 3 level notice, it'll be wider. And and so it wouldn't comply with the terms of the Section 311 notice. And I don't know if staff has spoken with you about this, but we would have to do at least some form of a probably a reduced Section 311 notice just for the change in the envelope. But
yeah, but there's been some confusion all around on what the right process is on that end, so I'd certainly take staff's direction as what's appropriate.
And then the alternative would be going to the planning commission hearing, you know, if the variance is granted, having go to the planning commission hearing, have them adopt revised plans, but it sounds like that's not anyone's, they would rather do maybe a reduced notice if that's the...
I would imagine that would be the preferred scenario. I think we prefer to have our options laid out for us and make a decision as a group, I think would be the best course of action for us.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Then we can move on to public comment for this item. Again, we're on to item number 7, 2764 Grand Street.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning. Catherine Stephanie on behalf of Supervisor Mark Farrell. I'm one of his legislative aides, and I wanted to make sure you received the letter that we sent out.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Just wanted to let you know that our office has been working for months on this project, working with the project sponsors, neighbors, the DR requesters, the Cal Hall Association, to find common ground and find a solution. That's often what we get involved with these DRs and all sorts of things, as you know. We were particularly very concerned originally about the mid-block open space and preserving that for the Cal Hall Association, as you know, that's one of the, in the residential guidelines, which are not adopted by the planning code, but everyone knows that that is something that is important to the Cal Hall Neighborhood Association. After a lengthy meeting in our office with Glenn Cabreros and David Lindsay at the planning department and the project sponsors and representative from the Cal Hall Association, Brian Milford, the architect who just spoke, and the DR requesters, we went over various scenarios that would solve the DR requesters' concerns and would satisfy the project sponsors' need for their expanding family and to live in the home in San Francisco as they would like to live in the home with enough space. Basically, you know, this is the first time we've ever been involved or come to the zoning administrator to request such a thing or urge you to grant a variance. We just feel that this would avoid a DR. It protects the mid-block open space by allowing the project sponsors to stay within the property lines of their neighbors. As I said, it is a priority for the Cal Hall Association. Supervisor Farrell is very big on preserving our neighborhoods since they are so unique to San Francisco. The neighbors to the right of 2764 Granite Street, to our understanding, has 3-foot setbacks. This would allow peaceful coexistence, I think, with the neighbors, which I know might not be a typical extraordinary circumstance, but when you work as a legislative aide and you see neighbors going at it over and over about these things and you see neighbors come together and find a solution that would basically make all parties happy, including the neighborhood association, it's just, that to me is extraordinary. The plans without the variance will create a hardship, in our opinion, by forcing them to waste more time, more dollars, more bites at the Planning Commission over DR, where even though we have a co-compliant project, you never know what happens at the Planning Commission. I think people want certainty here, and we see that time and time again. We have something now that we've worked on that everyone agrees on, and we would hope that a 3-foot setback versus 5-foot would be something that you would consider. And there are letters from the Cal Hall Association. They were going to be here today. I think you received their letter as well. I spoke with the president, Lori Brooke, this morning, and she said they have a small zoning committee. 3 members are all out of town. They would have been here because this is important to them. And I know that the DR requester is here to speak on this as well.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. Hi, I'm Susan Spiewak. My husband, George Marijan, and I own 2766 Greenwich, the 3-unit building to the west. We support the variance as indicated in the 921 plans that my husband has signed. In addition to the plans preserving the open space, as indicated by Cal Palo, and respecting the pattern of development that's going on, is also a reasonable compromise to attempt to mitigate any impingement on light air and privacy in the three units for of our building. So, and as Brian stated, if this, when this variance is approved, we will drop the DR. So we would very much appreciate it if you would approve the variance today.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item, 2764 Granite Street? Probably sponsor, would you like to add any additional comments? I know it wasn't quite public testimony in opposition, but you still
happily go on the record to thank the supervisor's office for their assistance in helping come to a negotiated solution, and thank the DR requester for taking time out of their day to come in support of what we hope to be a project that moves forward that all parties are happy with.
Thank you. So with that, the public hearing is closed. I think that the variance process is not the appropriate process in which to resolve discretionary review issues. The Planning Commission is the appropriate entity to do that. In this case, we do have a compromise that's been agreed upon by both parties. They are both seeking this resolution. I think that arguably the exceptional extraordinary circumstances here are that the project sponsor is willing to accept a smaller project than would otherwise be permitted in the code. And the overall, the square footage that they could develop at that ground level is greater than what they are gaining through the 2 foot gain on either side for the for this addition. And given that it is somewhat of a downsloping lot, then it is could otherwise have been permitted as a one-story 10-foot pop-out, the full width of the lots under the code. I think that those are persuasive. So would gentlemen be inclined to grant the requested variance? However, we do have a typical condition which states that any further expansion would be reviewed by the zoning commission to determine whether or not a variance is required. Given the case here, and that we are really, one of the findings we're making in granting the variance is that they're getting up with something which is otherwise developable, and it's, they're maxing out the envelope of the lot. I mean, this is a large single-family dwelling. I would put a condition in there that any further expansion, even if it is within the buildable area, would trigger a new variance process. So if there's any other addition, then that would come back, need to come back for a variance. So another project sponsor, if this is something, probably the first time you've heard of this, is that something that your client would be willing to accept as a condition of approval?
It's actually, I don't believe the first time we've heard that as a potential condition. I believe in the dialogue what possible outcomes would be the idea that a future expansions after variance would also be subject to a variance, I think it's understood.
Okay, well, excellent, thank you. So with that, kind of grant the requested variance. Also, I would direct the project sponsor to work with the adjacent neighbor regarding the railing. And sorry to make you jump back up, but I mean, can we say today that the railing will either be open or clear glass?
I haven't had a chance to speak directly with the neighbor. He's been speaking directly with the client. So I do need to find out what they discussed specifically before stating what a solution will be, but we'll work with him to find the ground solution that that's acceptable to him, if that's at all possible. Is that sufficient?
Yeah, that's good to hear. I won't at this point say that we would have a condition in there saying that it has to be open railing or clear glass, but that's something we would consider before preparing a final decision letter. So I would encourage you or your client to work with the neighbor to come up with some solution. If no solution, no compromise can be met, then the department would be willing to place a condition on there that would require that the railing be open for that patio. I think that's justifiable in that under a code-compliant alternative, it would be further away from the adjacent properties. So in order to grant the variance to go closer, and if it's not resolved with the neighbor, we would want to see either a railing. That should be difficult to do with are you doing a variegated roof there already?
We will be, yes.
So that shouldn't be out of the issue of the building.
I believe we'll come to a solution. This might not be the right form for that, but in terms of the matter of procedure, would a letter from the owner be sufficient?
Yes, I think coordinating with staff. Perfect.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. So again, climate group grant with those conditions, and public hearing is closed. We can move on to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2012-0872B, 921 Post Street, open space, variance sought. You're the sponsor, sir. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning again. My name is Michael Gerwig.
I'm the designer for YA Studio and project manager for the project at 912 Oak Street. As you know, we're proposing to add a fourth residential unit to the subject property and are requesting a variance for open space. The existing building does not offer any usable rear yard space, and since the proposed unit doesn't involve an expansion of the building envelope, there are no feasible opportunities to create such a space without greatly altering the historic nature of the building envelope. We feel the proposed unit is modest in size, does not expand or alter the building envelope, and will have a positive impact on the neighborhood by adding to the amount of reasonably priced rental units. We thank you for your time and hope you see fit to grant this variance.
Thank you. So the subject lot, corner lot, is 28 by 54.5 feet and is a full lot coverage. The building itself is a historic resource and a contributor in the Heartland Hotel Historic District. You mentioned there are no other units in the building that have usable open space for well on this. There is, on the alley there, there's a gate across the alley. And so those issues have been addressed with the building and public works.
I've been talking with Kate Connor about that. I think she's looking in. It's unclear to me whether or not that was actually approved or not. And it may end up being removed. And I think that's sort of being looked at still.
But it doesn't have any issues in terms of the egress versus egress from the
correct. No.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Is there any public comment on this item on 921 Post Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. Do you plan to grant the requested variance, noting it's an RC4 zoning district, it's a very high density, it's a small lot, building to full lot coverage and historic resource, so the only alternative other than providing a roof deck would be demolishing a portion of the building to provide usable open space, which is not a reasonable alternative. So, again, public hearing is closed. Time to grant. And next item, please.
Item number 9, case number 2008.0082V, 56 Ringgold Street, rear yard modification variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Sanchez, Suhail Shatar, representing the project. This is a single family home, two stories. Ground level is a full lot coverage. The second level is about 11 foot setback from the rear property line. Behind the building is a warehouse structure. It's about a 15 foot high brick wall. Adjacent to the property to the east is a two-story warehouse that is a through lot from Ringgold to, I forgot the street to the north, but it goes all the way through. And then it's an empty lot to the west and a setback of a residential unit next to the lot behind us. With the rear yard. So I believe this project is more preservation / CEQA issues associated with neighborhood design guidelines for setbacks for any kind of vertical additions. Ringgold is a very narrow street, and as a result, the setbacks are about 15 feet setback for each addition. Therefore, we lost a lot of square footage in the plan of the project. And since the rear and the surrounding areas are more warehouse in nature, and the buildings that are not are set back from property lines, we feel that the variance should be granted to accommodate the additional square footage to accommodate the third level one-bedroom unit at the top. This does provide some additional housing for the neighborhood, does provide for smaller unit size that hopefully is a little bit more affordable to people seeking housing in this neighborhood. So again, it's a setback issue with regards to the front of the property, which we've lost space to gain the space in the rear yard.
Thank you. And this is a rear yard modification. As you know, the building is a known historic resource. It's a contributory building to the newer Western Summit Historic District. Current building is a full lot coverage, similar to the last case. You're adding two building units in this case, right?
Correct.
It's out to Section 311, Section 312 notice currently, which will expire on November 21st. The staff includes the meet development criteria of the modification. The Ringgold is narrow, but it's still it's more than 25 feet wide, isn't it?
I believe it is.
Yes, so that's how the units are getting their exposure. So Thank you. Is there any public comment?
Great. Thank you very much.
Is there any public comment on this item on 56 Springgold Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item and be inclined to grant the requested rear yard modification, noting that it is a historic resource, existing full lot coverage, existing legal non-compliant building. We are adding additional density in an area where that additional density can be sustained and should be encouraged. So, would it grant the requested variance or rear yard modification and close the public hearing? We move on to the next and final item.
Last item on our calendar, item number 10-2012.1137V, 184 Edgewood Avenue. Side yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I'm Nina Sturridge, and my husband John and I own the property at 184 Edgewood. As you know, in April 2011, a variance was previously granted for a chimney and fireplace in our side yard, and we're now applying for this new variance for two reasons. One is that a later survey indicated that the property line is several inches to the side of where it was originally drawn, and the second reason is that we desire a differently designed fireplace that is more in keeping with the traditional character of the existing house. We'd like to center the fireplace within the living room, and also have a design, it's still a gas fireplace, but a different design that requires a chimney that no longer fits within the wall of the existing building. So basically, for all the reasons the first variance was granted, we believe the findings are also met for this variance. Specifically, we feel that this variance is necessary to enjoy property right possessed by other properties in the same class and district. For example, our next door neighbor has a chimney here within their side yard. In fact, this chimney is 2.5 inches from the property line, whereas our chimney will be 1.5 feet from the property line. And our neighbor to the other side also has a chimney in their side yard. Also, I believe closer than our chimney will be. We've had discussions with the planning department about slightly reduce the size of our chimney by making it a metal flue like this, but we really would prefer to do it as drawn in the variance application to look more like this, which is shingled, a nice boxed shingled chimney, which we think will look a lot better from the street than an exposed metal chimney. We believe that the variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare. The chimney, the fireplace is drawn, is in line with a existing non-compliant part of the building here, so we've just brought it forward. We have not gone any more into the side yard, so it won't reduce any vision into the rear yards or light to anybody. It's also opposite a blank wall in our neighbor's house and partially opposite their chimney, so we don't think it'll have any effect on their property either. The side yard with the fireplaces we have proposed is about equal to the side yard along the whole length of our neighbor's property, which is not compliant with the existing side yard requirements. Their side yard is about 1.5 feet, and they have a 4-yard side requirement. So we believe that it won't change the character of any side yard setbacks and is in keeping with the intent of the code, and all the other findings are also met.
Thank you. And the staff had asked about whether or not it could just be a metal flue, and versus whether it you have some fascia around it. I have no preference either way in terms of the variance, but I would ask you to continue to work with staff on that, and if it is more of a preservation issue that somehow the metal chimney is the preferable alternative, then I would defer to them because that's more of a CEQA issue. But in terms of the variance, I would have an opposition to what the proposal that you have, but just work with staff to determine if that's something that's required for preservation issues. But otherwise, thank you for your patience and what's been a very long process through discretionary review of the previous variance. And I know that there were some issues with the contractor having exceeded the scope of the work and the demolition and additional environmental review and then the survey. And then, the chimney is a bit larger than what was previously approved. And I mean, this has been a lot of process, and I apologize for the amount of process, but it is something that we do have to go through. But I appreciate your patience, and you know, hopefully this is the last thing that we need to deal with, and we can move on and complete your project and have your new home. So I'll ask if there's any public comment, but I don't see there's no one else in the audience here. So we'll close public comment and be inclined to grant the requested variance.
Thank you for your attention. Could I ask, in relation to your previous comments, we are kind of getting to the end of construction, and I know that there's a guideline that the letter can take about 2 months to correct.
All staff to expedite the decision letter, knowing that the emphasis is revision to a previous decision letter. Hopefully, we're not recreating anything here. I mean, I think it's we can get that as soon as possible. I think Ms. Calderoni, she's been out of town. But as soon as she gets back in, I'll ask that she gets that drafted, and if need be, I'll try to do it myself. So we'll try to get that wrapped up as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
And that's the last item. We have general public comment, but seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and we next meet on December 5th, 2012.
Actually, it's December 7th.
December 7th? It's December 5th.
Is it? I thought it was December 7th, but okay. The first Wednesday of December.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.